Hey guys, it's the week of Thanksgiving, and you know what that means? Black Friday! Yo, we're offering 35% off everything on our website. We got tons of merch with really cool / quirky / silly Christian sayings, and our stuff is comfy, y'all, seriously. So check it out, memesforjesus.com. On Wednesday, we're going to announce the promo code, and you guys will be able to get 35% off. If you want to support us, you love what we do, check it out, get some merch for some people, bless them this Christmas, and it'll help us out as well. So thank you guys so much, and we hope you have a happy and safe Thanksgiving. Yo, it is the episode where we interview the Normal Pentecostal. What'd you think, Mike? Wasn't it awesome talking with April?
Yeah, it was awesome talking with April.
Yeah, we can say her name.
April.
Yeah, we can say her name.
Her name is April.
She gave us permission.
She gave us permission.
She's a fireball, man. She's awesome.
Yes.
Like, she's not, if you just try to mess with her, she will put the fear of God.
Mess with April.
To put the fear of God in you.
She'll put you down.
But yeah, this is our conversation with the Normal Pentecostal. Check it out. Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to the Memes for Jesus podcast. I'm Matt Matias.
And I'm Michael Schaefer.
And we always ruin the intro, but that was like the best ruin.
That was all right.
That was the best out of the first 10 intro. We did. So.
Yeah, we did. Who's that? Who is that?
Oh, that's right. There's somebody here in the room with us,
no,
Michael.
No, in the
Zoom room.
In the Zoom room.
And it's the Normal Pentecostal. Welcome.
There was a lot of buildup on that.
Yeah.
Wow.
The suspense was.
We might need to try that one again.
No, we're keeping it.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. I love awkward. Let's embrace
we're
the
not
awkward.
Starting this over. We've done that 5 times. Let's keep going.
Yes, this podcast is extremely awkward, and you understand our awkwardness.
Yes,
I think,
I embrace it.
Because you know why, y'all? Because the Normal Pentecostal is part of the Meme Illuminati. I always put the X-Files theme.
There you go.
Yes. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
You are our pal.
Yes, pals.
Are you our pal?
I'm your pals.
Yay!
Yay!
Oh my gosh, it's reciprocated.
Yay! We were actually just talking about awkwardness beforehand. Can we talk about this a little bit?
Mm.
How guys, Christian guys, are mega awkward.
I would never say this? Such a thing. No, they're perfect in every way.
Oh, man. It's funny because we interviewed 10 different dating pages.
Three.
100. And
three.
And I asked all of them, why are Christian men literally the worst? And we got really great answers. But I'm going to ask you, the Normal, or we like to call her Bubbles.
Bubbles. When I've never known that.
Yeah. Yes.
She just
I don't
said it.
Read the message.
And I don't hate it. I actually like it a little bit. It's fun.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's fun.
It's totes adorbs.
Totes adorbs.
I've seen people use the name Bubbles in the chat, but I never realized that they were talking about
Well, normal. Welcome to the chat,
because I've always
Michael.
Called you Normal.
Well, that's true, too.
Yeah.
Either way.
Yeah. So Bubbles.
Yeah.
What do you think? Why are Christian men?
Oh my gosh. Why are you starting with the question? If I knew how to answer, I would be married. I don't know. What are the other answers you've gotten?
So a lot of them were usually responses like yours, oh my gosh, don't talk about men like
that. Is that how I talk? I'm like, oh my gosh.
No. More answers of astonishment and bewilderment. But
bewilderment. All right. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think Christian guys, my personal take on this is that Christian dudes are literally the worst because they're pressured to get married super soon, and they also don't know how to be good boys in like a way that interacts with the world. Not to get like super deep, like right out the gate, but like
this is how it's gonna be, guys. Just get prepared right now. It's gonna be deep.
We're doing it. This is me. Yes, I live my life like this. Oh man. But like, yeah, Mike, why are Christian dudes horrible?
This is not, you're not interviewing me.
I'm okay with you answering this question, Michael.
Oh my gosh. Christian.
As a Christian man.
As a Christian man, other Christian men are horrible because.
I have thoughts. I have thoughts. I
was not prepared.
I was not prepared for this either, but I do have a thought that came to mind. So I made a meme a while ago about, I think it's Isaiah 4. And it says, in that day, there will be 8 women for every 1 man, and they will all be like, please marry me and take my name so I don't have to be a single person forever. There are, in the church, there are 8 women for every 1 single man. People deny it all the time. So guys, I don't think guys, in some cases, have to make as much of an effort when the odds are 8-1. What do you think about that, Michael? As a Christian man.
If you notice, Christian men's conferences have a much smaller attendance than Christian women's conferences. Like, you go to a Christian women's conference, and those things are packed out. I know. I've been to one before. There are photos of me.
Wow. Wow.
I went there to visit my mom.
Uh-huh.
And the Christian men's conferences are just like, they're barely even there.
But do you think that's because women like to share their feelings and cry together and, like, you know, talk about how awesome Jesus is, and guys are like, no, thank you?
I mean, well, if that's the case, then that's part of the problem, because, like, why aren't guys wanting to talk about Jesus?
Exactly. So now, guys, why don't guys want to talk about Jesus?
I think there's two problems here, actually. There's a problem with the church catering to those who are more in touch with their feelings. Mm. And there's also a problem with guys that are not willing to express their feelings. So the church is by the majority, as you mentioned, filled with women and caters more to moms and grandmas and ladies of all ages. And that's why a lot of dudes aren't in churches. And that's why you have these cringy men programs where it's like, come be a man retreat, beef. Guns, we're going hunting, we're going bowling. You know, it's like,
you forgot the bacon. You forgot the bacon for breakfast.
Oh, bacon. we're playing
it's
football.
Always bacon.
Playing football, but the ball's made out of bacon. Right?
Yeah. I would say the same thing for women's retreats, though. Like, I'm not the typical, like, I don't want to go and bring my Bible cozy and, like, you know, play flowery music and stuff. Like, I think most women are kind of done with that. Like, I don't want to go talk about what kind of mop is best to mop my kitchen floor. Like, that's kind of what I used to think of women's ministries, you know? I don't know. I just want to talk about Jesus.
Yeah. And you do talk about Jesus a lot, don't you?
I do talk about Jesus a lot.
We got it. You got an amazing podcast that actually is very, very enlightening. I have listened to it, and it is awesome.
Well, good. Yay. Thank you.
It is called the More of God podcast. For those of love podcasts and need more wholesomeness in your life, it is a wholesome podcast. It really is.
Yes.
You put lots of, like, really good time into it, and you talk about things that are pertinent to Christians, I think you started off with your testimony. Is that correct?
That was a little bit later in there. I started it because I got saved when I was almost 27 years old. And I was at kind of a non-denominational church, and it was a great church for getting people saved, but it really did not ever talk about the Holy Spirit. And I didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. And so I started Googling it, which I'm going to tell you, if you want to know more about the Holy Spirit, the last place you should look is Google, because there is some jacked up stuff on Google.
Ain't that the truth?
And I couldn't find anything good to really read that seemed normal. And so I wanted to kind of that's my whole goal in all of this. I wanted to provide a way for people to learn more about the Holy Spirit, but not be all super weird about it. So I created that podcast to kind of interview people that have had encounters with the Holy Spirit, but people who weren't weird, people who could talk about it reasonably, intellectually, theologically, and just kind of share their stories. My little tagline for it is it's a safe place to explore the more, because that's what I wanted, was a place to kind of go and learn and not, you know, be scared to go to a church that had weird stuff going on. I know, Michael, I think you said you came from a Pentecostal background. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. So you know what I'm talking about when you go to a church and there's some... Matt, you too,
yeah, Matt?
Matt
comes from a Pentecostal
background. Oh, I didn't know that too.
Mm-hmm. So, I was in Assemblies of God ministry.
I knew Michael was. I didn't realize you were. Yeah. So, you can kind of sometimes go to a church and there's people doing some stuff that you're like, I'm not really sure what that's all about. And so I wanted to just kind of offer a safe place for people to learn about that. So, yeah, that's what my podcast is about.
That's so awesome. And it's so cool because that was like, well, Pentecostalism, would you say, is like your first encounter with Christianity? Or did you have other encounters with Christianity beforehand?
No. I got saved at a church, like I said, that didn't really talk about the Holy Spirit. So it was at a church that was, really into Jesus and really into the Father. But Holy Spirit was considered weird. Don't bring that in here. You know, if it happens to you, that's fine, but don't talk about it, kind of stuff. So yeah, this was a new thing for me. And I just kind of felt like God was talking to me about it. Like, I really want to show you more of what I've got, you know? And so that led me to the current church that I'm at and kind of everything that I've come into as I've been sharing on the More of God. So.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And you've had some pretty dope guests on there, man.
Dope.
Dope. Dope. Had some dope guests. Can you name a few of the guests that you've had on there that are more, a little more notable?
Oh, I have a lot of people that aren't notable. And that was kind of my goal at first, was to have people that were just everyday people that could share their story. So people wouldn't think you have to be notable. But I had, recently I had Jenny Randall, who is an author who writes about getting to know God's voice, and she's on there. So she's more well known. I've had, a pastor named Bill Vanderbush, named Mike Hutchings, and both of them, are more well known, pastors that I've had on, but the majority of the people are just people who've had, you know, everyday encounters and stuff that, I wanted people to just hear that it's not just for special people, it's for everybody.
That's awesome. Like, so you and I kind of come from like opposite ends of the spectrum, because I came from swinging from the chandelier, you know, it's like convulsion on the floor, bark like a dog, Spanish Pentecostalism, like, I thought that's what it was. Like, everything was, everything was spoken in metaphors. Everything was, you know, you have to just flow in the river of God, and you have to just, you know.
Did you sing that song, Dance in the River, a lot?
Oh, man. Yeah, the Spanish version, though, is like.
Oh, nice. Baile en el agua.
En el agua. It's awesome. That is awesome.
I don't know the word for river.
Rio.
Rio. Rio, that's right. Rio.
El Rio de Dios.
Wow, I feel the spirit of that.
Yeah, they would jam. Like, they definitely could jam. But like, in my case, I felt like I was missing so much. Like, I couldn't explain the God that I felt. Right. Anyway, so like, yeah, that was my experience, where I didn't have, where I am more of a, like, a thoughtful person, not necessarily a smart person. I just like to think about stuff a lot. And I had questions that weren't getting answered. It's just like, oh, I was literally told for years, you know, God never asked us to explain him. He only asked us to proclaim him, where I'm like, but really? Is that what the Bible says?
Yeah, I think that's the problem in a lot of churches. I think it's one or the other. They either lean towards the Spirit or they lean towards the Word, and they throw out the other. And Jesus was so good at holding in tension both. Like, he said, you know, worship in spirit and truth, and he came in spirit and truth. And I think that the best kinds of churches, in my opinion, are those that are grounded in the Word. Like, if it's not, you know, if the Word doesn't say whatever, then we're not going to do it. But also being open to the things that the Holy Spirit wants to do. And a lot of people will say, well, that just seems weird or chaotic or whatever. But like, there was a lot of weird stuff in the Bible. You can't say that just because it's weird, like, it wasn't God, you know? So that's kind of why I like talking to people about it and helping them process those things. I think there's so many things we miss out on with God because we're just so shut down to it being different than we expect or that we understand. Mm. But he says that everything he does is like, it's beyond our comprehension. It's how his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are different than our ways. There's this mysteriousness of God. And if we could understand him, would we be that excited? You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. So I like that there's things I don't understand. I don't always understand him, but he's always good and usually will show me what those things mean or whatever over time.
Yeah. And kind of going back to like our comparing our stories here. Like I had a deconstruction in my own faith where I swung to the opposite end of the spectrum and I'm like pretty cessationist now, pretty Calvinistic now and reformed in my own theology. But I still would affirm that God can work through miracles and tongues. So basically any reasonable cessationist would, I think, but I don't place an emphasis on it as I used to. And that's where I'm coming from. But, you know, I would totally like be like, hey, God can do miracles and he can, you know, work through people to speak in tongues. And you and I have kind of gone back and forth a little bit on that, which is always great. Like, I love that stuff. And you're always so like good at roasting me.
Roasting you.
I just know there was this one time that you roasted me so hard that I was just,
I don't remember this. Yeah,
like we were talking and we were talking about women ministers.
I said, I don't mind talking about that
yeah
topic.
Yeah. Like, well, I mean, that's okay, so let's talk about it. I don't mean to like debate or nothing like that. I just, you know, this is your podcast, girl. So I guess one of the highlights of the Pentecostal movement is that they are more inclusive to those who they allow to preach, whereas other denominations would be like, get that woman away from that pulpit this very instant, where, you know, the Pentecostal movement is like, you know, women can preach the word of God too. I mean, has that been your experience, and has that kind of been a good allure to the Pentecostal movement?
Yeah, I mean, I come from an even more interesting background than that, because the church that I'm at now is at a denomination called Foursquare, which was actually founded by a woman. Amy Semple McPherson. She wasn't trying to form a denomination. She just was praying for people, seeing them healed, all this crazy stuff. And then a denomination kind of formed around her. But we've got people, like there's a guy in my church that he's a licensed pastor and he doesn't believe in women in ministry. And I'm thinking, why are you in the church? Why are you in a denomination started by a woman? So there's a wide variety of people's belief on that. Right. And I understand people have, you know, different beliefs on that. And people will argue 1 Timothy 2 all the time. I get so many, DMs from guys. If I ever say I'm a licensed pastor, I preach, you know, I get so many DMs from people sending me that verse. Like, I've never read that verse ever in my life. Like, I've never heard of this verse, you know, because women don't read the Bible and everything. Oh, so I get sent that verse a lot, but I just want to let any listeners know I have read that verse. You don't need to keep sending it to me. But there's a lot of different ways, if you really look at the text, how to interpret that. And I think that's the difference that I have with other people, is if you read through it and I read through it and we come from different backgrounds and different ways that our denominations have taught us that these words mean or whatever, we come to different conclusions on that. I think that there's just a lot of things that I had to come to terms with before I got my license that I needed to know that I 100% believe the Bible says this is okay for me to do. If it wasn't, I wouldn't have gotten my license. So I'm fully convinced for myself. It's okay if other people aren't convinced. It's not, it doesn't affect me if they're not convinced of that. I know that, you know, over all the different reasonings that we can talk about with Galatians, it says that there's in Christ Jesus, there's neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek, slave nor free. Like, so if we're in Christ, I believe that the Holy Spirit can use any person to do anything that he chooses to have them to do. And that includes all of the gifts, including preaching, teaching, things that certain people think that only men are qualified to do. So, and that's okay. We can disagree on that. It doesn't bother me. The only time it bothers me, I had this one guy, this is the worst DM that I've ever gotten. I've blocked him since because he was incredibly threatening, but he did tell me that if I continued to say it was okay for women to preach, that I needed to get in the kitchen, submit to the patriarchy, or burn. So I was like, wow, thank you. That is great. That's great advice. I appreciate that.
You know what makes me really upset about Christians, though, is that you have people who obviously hold different views, but that, and they somehow feel that gives them license to treat other people mm-hmm. like absolute garbage.
Right.
And I'm guilty of it myself. I mean, you've seen me, you know me, but like, you know, that is absolutely uncalled for, to call, tell somebody to, that they're going to, that they need to submit or they're going to burn. Like, yeah. I don't think you can have a more harsh judgment on someone. That is,
and I think, like, I mean, God created that guy too. God created all of us. We're all made in His image. We all deserve honor and respect and all that. And so when we treat other people with dishonor and we're saying awful things like that to people, it's like, you can believe all you want, you're correct about your theology on women in ministry, but I'm going to tell you, you're not correct on your theology of the heart of God.
Ooh, roasted. I told roasted. You, she roasts people. She roasts them. She kills them.
I mean, seriously, though, mm-hmm. you're right that there's, and it's not all Christians. I think most Christians really are trying to do the right thing. They're trying to love God, love people. But there are people that they don't know how to disagree and still mm-hmm. love. And that's one thing I do love about our chat. Like, we have like, we have like the most diverse group of people in the Illuminati, and we all still hang out, even though I disagree with like 60% of them on most things. Like, it's okay. Like, I like being around people who have different beliefs and talking through it and figuring out why, and looking at my own thoughts and kind of bringing them back to God and figuring out what I believe. It's a process that we all grow in, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think being in that environment is very conducive to good Christian community, because when you like red pill yourself, that basically allows you to be in communion with all people, really, because mm-hmm. otherwise you're just in an echo chamber and you're just, you know, hanging out with clones of yourself. And that's the worst thing you could possibly do for your mental health and your spiritual health and your relational health. Like, you don't learn how to treat people better when they don't disagree with you. So I appreciate you, April, for all the things that you've done. And I said your name. name drop. It's April. No name. Was it Angel? April? No last name.
April, no last name.
Yeah, but I appreciate you and the way that you've pushed me and helped me to be more gracious and more considerate of those that I maybe like, you know, hold different views than. So
thank you, April.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Wow. Where's my trophy?
I got the gozaimasu.
We were going to mail you one, but we don't know your last name.
Oh, okay.
Oh, shoot.
You can send me an e-trophy.
Ooh.
That's good. That's just an emoji.
So oh, yeah. There we go.
Easy peasy.
E-trophy emoji. You go. There you go. DM'd. Sent. But yeah, like, I've been very vocal on my positions on stuff.
What?
You're vocal? A little bit. Yeah. Just a little bit.
Gosh, I never would have guessed that you had strong positions on things.
Oh, yes, it is true. I am a big mouth. But
you know what? I think we're all going to get to heaven and we're going to be surprised at how wrong all of us were.
Oh, yeah.
There's probably like a 15th option that none of us have even considered. And 100% of us are 100% wrong.
Yes. God's going to just gather us all in together. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be looking at each other like, wait, I hate you. Oh, and then God's like, you're all wrong.
You're all wrong.
Group hug.
You just kiss us all on our little foreheads.
Yep.
You're all wrong. And I still love you.
God still loves us.
Oh, thanks, God.
Thanks, God.
Oh, goodness. So I did want to ask, too, about the page. You got the normal Pentecostal page.
Yep.
Forgive me. Did we talk about where that originated from?
No. Yeah, let's talk about that. So I actually started it because of the podcast. I know you guys know it's hard to get people to listen to your podcast, especially if you don't have another platform to kind of promote it on, right?
Right.
So even like at the beginning, I did the whole thing where you ask all of your family and friends to like it. And then you have like 14 people that have liked your podcast, you know? So I'm like, okay, so how do I get more people to listen? And I had a friend who, he's a really big time marketing guru. And he gave me the advice of like taking a group of people who would be interested in it and like scaling back to a larger group, like so Christians in general, basically. And he said, you got to come up with some kind of technique where you're like getting their attention, and then you can funnel their attention into the thing that's less people who are going to be interested in. So I had just started kind of looking at memes and thinking, that's funny. I could do that. Like, I want to make some memes. And so, started the page just to kind of use it as a way, a marketing tool to get people to the podcast. Ended up just really loving doing memes. First year was like super fun. I think I've run out of ideas for year two, but I'm coming back around again. But yeah, it started as a way to get people to the podcast, but kind of the first few times I was posting stuff, nobody, you know, barely anybody would see it. And then I think that I sent something to Petty Christian Memes, and he liked it and he reposted me, and that got me a ton of follows. And then I got me invited into the Illuminati. So
nice.
Then life has never been the same.
Yeah, you're about to get, you're on your way to get 50K up in there.
Just hit 40.
I'm hoping so. I'm at 41.6, something like that.
We're looking at it right now.
Right now.
But after this podcast, I know I'm going to be at 55, right?
Let's go.
41.655.
The 55 people that listen to this podcast.
Exactly. Exactly. Man.
Like, no, like, your memes have gotten so good lately. Like, I'm not going to lie. Obviously I would be the one who would be like, I don't know about these Pentecostal memes. Beep, 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 beep. But
how would you be like? Is that what your voice sounds like?
Yeah, that's me. That's okay. The real, that's my essence. Oh, that's what I really sound like.
Your essence. Got it.
I think it works though. Cause it's easy to overlook the normal part of it. Cause you have normal in there. So it's like, cause there's lots of Pentecostals that ain't so normal.
No.
They weird.
Yeah.
Aww.
Come on now. You wouldn't have to make that distinction if they weren't, though. Let's be honest.
Yeah. Well, and again, I was making it for the podcast. So I was thinking, like, all these people that think Pentecostal stuff is all crazy. Like, I have so many friends in churches like that. They're like, I don't know, those Holy Spirit people are whacked out. So I just wanted to be like, this is normal Holy Spirit stuff. So, yeah.
I try to say that, like, there's a very fine line between Pentecostal and charismatic.
Yes. And I thought about originally, one of my original names was the Closet Charismatic, but then I felt like that seemed like I was ashamed of being a charismatic. So I didn't do that, but yeah, I was going to use charismatic because I thought that might be a little more descriptive of what it was.
Less words too. Less little letters to put in there. Pentecostal is a long, it's too long for me to type.
Aww.
I just wish.
TNP. Just call me Bubbles. Just call me Bubbles, everybody.
Bubbles.
The Bubbles.
The Bubbles. The Bubbles. The Bubbles. The Bubbles.
Do you know that's from?
Nope.
April, that's from Finding Nemo. Yeah.
It's the yellow fish.
I haven't seen that movie in so long.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was a Finding Nemo reference.
It was.
Yeah.
Oh, I need to watch it again.
Because I could feel how uncomfortable you got. With Mike going, the Bubbles, Bubbles. It was like, if you don't know the context, I could see how uncomfortable I would make someone. Oh, man. So, yeah. Next. Okay. I want to do this thing. Where, you know, the church stories
podcast,
church,
church stories podcast with PD and Shama.
Yeah.
So they do church stories.
Yeah.
Yep, that's kind of the thing they do.
Yeah. I would like for you to give us your craziest Pentecostal / charismatic moment that you've seen or experienced.
Craziest meaning like
somebody
wackadoodle or craziest meaning like biggest God miracle?
Let's do both. Let's do the wackadoodle and then I want to hear the crazy God moment.
Oh, jeez.
Because I know you got good ones.
Oh my gosh. You're putting me on the spot. I haven't thought about it in a while. I think like the craziest are just a lot of people shrieking and falling. Like, I mean, I am very, like, as a Pentecostal, I'm actually very non-demonstrative. Like, even when I first became a Christian, I never clapped my hands during music. Like, I was just very, like, not showy. I've never fallen out, although I believe it's real. I've never, Like, there's a lot of things as a Pentecostal that I've never done. But I've seen a lot of people do it, and I am growing and growing in comfort watching other people do those things.
Do you lift the hands a little bit?
Oh, I lift my hands now. Yeah. Okay. I love worship. So yeah, I lift my hands. But I've just seen a lot of people that it was just chaotic when either they're falling and screaming or somebody's shoving them over. I've seen a lot of people shoved over. I think that's something that really turns people off.
Has anyone ever tried to shove you over?
At a conference I was at once. Yeah. Oh, I know. I can think about it. So the weirdest things. So I don't know if most people don't know what shofars are in Christian world. I didn't know that most people didn't know what this was, but, Jewish people still use them, but Pentecostals, some of them believe that you should blow a shofar. It's like a sign of either spiritual warfare or like taking charge or the kingdom's coming, or I don't know. A lot of people do a lot of things with it. Anyway, they'll blow. It's like this ram's horn and they blow it like a trumpet. And it's like, I don't know. Some people love to do it. I have never done that. I don't desire to do that. I am never going to say never, because every time I say never, God makes me do it. So I do not want to do it. So I will say, I hope I never do it.
Calvinism confirmed. Sorry, go ahead.
But every time I'm at a Pentecostal conference, the shofar player finds me like a magnet, and they always sit next to me. Like some people on planes, they get sit next to the crying baby every time. Like I get sat next to the shofar player every time. Mm. And so one time I was at this conference and there was a shofar player to my right, shofar player to my left, a double shofar player behind me. And then a guy came and sat in front of me with three bags and he pulled out a worship flag out of one. He pulled a shofar out of the other, and then out of the third, he pulled a worship flag with a shofar spray painted on it. And I just was surrounded in so much Pentecostal. I was like, I can't even, like, there was so many shofars.
That's like the final
boss. I don't know what to do with myself. So I would say that was probably one of the crazier ones, but.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. That's highest tier Pentecostal.
But in some of that, like, I really do believe that there are some weird things that happen that are fully God. There's some things that are human, right? There's some things that people shake and do things because they somehow they do it or whatever. But there's times where things like that can happen. And I believe it's fully God. Mm-hmm. And there was one lady who we were having this worship night and she fell out and she was crying and she was screaming. And I just was so judgy watching her. And I'm like, good Lord, make this a little bit more about you, woman. Like I was so judgy watching that. And all of a sudden I just felt God so close to me. And he said, I'm doing that. And he said it with such firmness that like it made me shake because he was doing something in her and I didn't understand it. So I was judging what it was. You know what I mean? It looked weird to me. So I was kind of conjuring up in my head that she's doing this, she's getting attention. But in that moment, God made it very clear to me that he was doing that. So now when I see weird things like that, it's either human or it's God or it's a mix of both. And I just try not to judge. And if it's human, that's their problem. If it's God, I don't want to be on the wrong side of the argument.
Yeah. So was that your like awesome God moment?
No. Oh gosh. No, I've seen a lot of people healed. I've seen a lot of prophetic words given and received that, were just, there's no other way that somebody could have known that. But I've seen a lot of people healed. I've seen three people healed from cancer that they were given like your terminal. Wow. And one lady was specifically given 2 weeks to live. Hmm. And we went and prayed for her. A group of us did. And she said she woke up and she had a dream that this guy in a robe came and prayed for her and said, I've healed you. And she ended up going home the next day. Wow. Like, so I've seen crazy stuff like that. And it's definitely something that a lot of people, there's controversy over healing. And, it, you know, some people believe that happens and some people believe it doesn't. But I've personally seen a lot of it. So I definitely am a believer.
Yeah, I mean, I am too. And I am a believer in words that, you know, mm-hmm. that are spoken over people. Mm-hmm. As a cessationist, I just believe that that's not something that you just have command over. It's just something God does because he's God. I think that's where we would differ. But I guess I'll share an interesting story that I believe I'm fully convinced that it was God, where, I don't even know if I should because this has to do with my old church. But the I was in a revival rally and fully entrenched in my beliefs that I have now. still a minister in an Assemblies of God church. And the minister comes up to me and he says, God is going to bless you with new streams of income. And I was like, already planning in my heart and in my mind, you know, to step down from the church amicably. And, you know, him saying that, I was like, yeah, that's definitely God. Because, you know, for him to say it in that way, I was like, whoa, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And so I received that as like an actual word from the Lord. Also, another crazy moment that I experienced. So I actually went to the Toronto revival back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
When it was huge, enormous. And I was there when it was really huge. And God like really delivered me through like a really, I had like a weird, very, very strong antisocial anxiety. If that even is a thing. I just like, I didn't like to be around people. I didn't like to talk to people. And I was very, very like, had like a darkness over me almost. And then, you know, one night God just, he made me speak in tongues, and it like, I was a different person. I instantly became an extrovert.
Yeah.
Like overnight. Yeah. And then everybody's like, who the heck is this kid? And I was completely different. So yeah. I believe God can do that. And he does do that. You know, I still hold both those views in tandem with each other. And
but, so let me ask you a question. Ahead. Do you still pray in tongues?
No, I do not.
No?
No. Mostly because, you know, I don't find myself convinced that it is a prayer language. I find myself still wrestling with that. I'll be honest. I'll be 100% transparent. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say, it is not a prayer language. I believe that it is, you know, that xenolalia and glossolalia, you know, I'm not going to do all that crap. I believe that it's, you know, it's hard. It's kind of ambiguous where scripture is with that. And I think it's like that on purpose. But I do believe is that in 1 Corinthians 14, that God places an emphasis on prophecy over tongues, where he places tongues on a very low rung of the totem pole of importance within the church. So,
but then Paul says he wishes everybody would do it as much as him.
Yes, I also agree. That's what I mean. That's where the ambiguity comes into place, because he says, I would much rather that you prophesy than speak in tongues, but I also want you to speak in tongues. So there is like a weird mixture, which I'm completely comfortable affirming both in just like a different way. So yeah, like there is truth to that. And there are Calvinists that are what are called continuationalists, that they believe, like Matt Chandler in his church, John Piper also would be, he's like, I want to speak in tongues. I want to speak in tongues. You know him? The way he is.
He just needs to call me. I'll help him.
Oh, snap. April about to lay some holy hands on him.
No, I'm going to tell you, it took me 6 years to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was something I wanted. Mm. And I kept thinking, like, I kept praying for it and asking God for it, and nothing ever happened. And at least I didn't think anything happened. And I went through a depression because I had linked God giving me that with God saying I was worthy of receiving it. And so when I couldn't receive it, I didn't feel worthy of his love. I didn't feel worthy of anything he wanted to give me. And so I went into depression over it. And so then when I finally understood it and I received it, like, it was like, now all I want to do is pray for other people to get it, because I know the enemy tried to keep me down by lying to me about that. So that's one of the things that I have on my website and my podcast that I've talked about the most is baptism in tongues, because there's so many people that want that and have confusion about that. Because you're right, the Bible, it's very confusing if you read through certain scripture verses, especially even in 1 Corinthians, there's so many kind of, it seems like back and forth, and people read that and get super confused. And so I have more people, like if I post something about baptism of the Holy Spirit or tongues, I have hundreds of people that like go to that link to read about it because they want it so badly and they don't understand. So I love to pay the enemy back for what he did to me and help a lot of people get that. So you can send that pastor to me. I'll take care of him.
I'll send John Piper your way. You got it. I'll just.
Oh, was it John Piper?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Send John Piper my way. I'll take it.
That's
I'll
why
take
I was doing
here.
All the expressive stuff because that's how.
Oh,
it is.
Yeah. I'll take it from here, John Piper. Just come on.
He makes like gang signs when he preaches.
He's I'm
like,
sure he listens to this podcast. Yeah. So once he hears he this, he'll know to give me a call.
Oh, yeah.
Except he doesn't have my last name either.
You heard that, Piper? Y'all know you're listening.
Call me Bubbles, Piper.
Pipey boy.
Pipey.
Pipey boy. Yeah, I mean, I think it's awesome. I think it's better to that you, you know, inform people on like and have informed positions on the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and things like that, rather than, you know, well, you just need to ask for it. You just need to seek after it. You know what I'm saying? And that's what you have churches that are literally telling people, just start saying shit about a Honda. Or what about a Yamaha? Yeah. You know, grandma got ran over by a reindeer. If you say that quick enough, then God'll he'll just take over. And it's like, what is that? Where is that in scripture?
Yeah.
Where is if and you know what? And I hope you don't take offense to this, but
I'm gonna be offended so bad. I'm so offended already. I'm preemptively offended.
Like the whole fact that you did go into a depression, and you had the sense of a second-class Christian was created by that environment because of the emphasis on the Holy Spirit. And that's my position.
That's a huge problem. Yeah. That's a huge problem. And I don't think that most of the time, I think sometimes it can be the church, but I think most of the time it's a bunch of people who they already are struggling with worthlessness. And this is just confirmation for them. I did have some people in my church that really wanted me to get it. I had the first person that ever talked to me about it, put her hand on my head and was screaming at me to scream in tongues. And I was like, oh my God, please leave me alone. Like, so like some people are very pressure like that. But for the most part, I think it was just my own junk. Like I had struggled with those feelings my whole life. And so when it came to this, it was just one more thing, you know, but, I don't know. I just think that God wants to help believers do everything that he's called them to do. And if he's got something that can give us the extra power, extra revelation, extra whatever it is we need to fulfill the destiny that he has us for, why would he hold that back until we're perfect? Because then we don't need it. Then we've already like achieved our destiny. You know what I mean? So God is so good at giving gifts to people who are so jacked up. It's not, we don't ever earn stuff from him. He gives it just because he's that good and he wants to help us, you know, get where he's got for us to go. So.
Amen. Anyway. Amen.
Jesus.
And that leads me to Calvinism. We don't deserve God's grace. He gives it to us unconditionally and irresistible. No, let me stop. Let me just stop. Before I get into the whole tulip trade. But you know what I'm saying? Like
I'll have to go at that point.
She's like, I'm out of here. Oh, man. No, that's so true. Like, I think that the whole aura or the whole environment of that, that's what gave me a bad taste in my mouth.
As being
a former Assemblies of God minister. And I don't want to trash the entire denomination, but you know, it was the fundamental truths that turned me away, where I would probably be a lot more comfortable in Foursquare, just to be completely TBH.
Well, come on over, Matt. Come on over.
TBH with
you. And the thing, like, I never want to ever push anybody because for me, if somebody pushes me, I'm going to head the other direction immediately. I don't like being pushed or pressured into anything. Mm-hmm. And so I've even had parents, because I used to pray for people for baptism all the time. I just was so passionate about it because it was so hard for me that parents would call me and be like, can you meet my kid and pray for them? And I was like, did your kid ask? And they were like, nope, I just want them to have it. And I'm like, I'm not going to like force it on your kid. Like,
oh my God.
Like God is so capable of doing everything he wants to do in a person. Like we don't need to force anybody into it. So.
Yeah. So tell me more about, you got people calling you. Tell me more about what it's like to be a female pastor.
Well, I am currently working in the secular world. I have my pastor's license. I was on staff at a couple churches in the past. But I think that there are always, even in a denomination where that was started by a woman, there's always men that don't believe in it. So I've preached, and if guys hear that I'm preaching on a Sunday, there's a few that probably don't come. Like, and that's fine. Like, he's going to miss out on a freaking fire sermon. That's okay.
Let's go. That's awesome.
And that's fine. But I also, again, I just don't know why somebody would be in a denomination started by a woman if they don't want to hear women speak, you know? Yeah. And people will always go back to that first Timothy, like women, Paul saying, I don't allow women to speak in church. But then like right after he says, when a woman prays and prophesies, she should cover her head. Well, if she's not speaking in church, then why is she praying and prophesying? You know what I'm saying? Like, so there's a plenty of women that have been used by God to speak, to teach, to preach, to do a lot of things. And I, like I said, I've gotten to the point where I've had to look through all the scripture, come to terms with the fact that I'm comfortable with it. And if other people haven't gotten to that place and don't believe that it's right, then they don't have to listen. And that's fine.
Yeah. I'll be honest. There are very good arguments for, female ministers. But I understand that there's different perspectives on Paul. Like there's the new Paul perspective as espoused by N.T. Wright. That is very convincing. I'm going to be honest with you. But, you know, I feel I like where my church is, my personal church.
Are you a complementarianism?
Yeah, I'm a complementarianist in our complementarianism.
Complementarian.
It's okay. Cause like, I like
calling. I realized after I said it,
and I know
this is why women shouldn't preach and teach. Oh, right? Sure. I can't even say the right words.
Oh man. That's awesome. But, yeah, like our church is complementarian in their, the way that they hold their eldership. So we have women that read scriptures. We have women that teach children. We have women that, you know, do all the above. Really, the only area is where they would say, you know, the office of elder would be for women.
Ask you a question. Yeah. Like, women are allowed to teach kids, right?
Yes.
So in the Bible, 13 was an adult.
13, yes.
So women are teaching 13-year-olds now.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely
what I'm saying. Like, a 13-year-old in the Bible would have been considered a man. But women are teaching 13-year-olds now. So all of a sudden they can't teach 13-year-olds, but they could back in Bible talk. Like, you know what I'm saying? There's like all these.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to engage with you on that if you want me to. But I think that, yeah, I think that there's definitely, you know, there's total arguments for it. I think that there are ways to, that, like you just mentioned, there's ways in scripture where you can argue that women did teach adults. I think that, you know, my own personal conviction would be that, you know, that there were different descriptions in scripture for eldership that were specific. But yeah, that's just me. And, you know, we do not have to agree. And I know
we'll arm wrestle later.
Yeah. Oh, man, these little chicken wings ain't going to do much. You got me. I'm pretty sure. But yeah, like I think. You know, I think it's great. Like, I'm over here, a staunch Calvinist, a cessationist, and we're hanging out with the normal Pentecostal.
And look at us, peace on earth. Look at that. It's possible, people. It's possible.
Look at us. Hey.
Look at us. Look at us. Look at us. Who would have thought? Who would have thought?
Yeah. That's exactly what I was going for.
Not me.
Yeah.
Not me. Yes.
But what about you, Mike? What about you? You're super Pentecostal, right?
Yes.
Do you agree with everything April just said?
Yes.
There's Mike's contribution for the episode. All right, folks, have a great day.
Perfect.
I will say, I have someone tried to push me over once.
Yes, I wanted to talk about that.
And I pushed them back.
Nice.
No, you didn't.
I did.
What?
Yeah, someone. No, legit. Like, I was just like, I wasn't even at the altar call. Because I was like, I don't need to go up. I already speak in tongues. I don't need to go up to the altar call. So I stayed in my seat and I'm raising my hands and the guy and the speaker comes by.
Yeah.
And he's like pushing on my forehead and I'm like,
yes.
Go away. No.
So do you do the whole, like, I heard this guy call it the tripod where he puts his foot out so he can't possibly fall over.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do that too. I like brace myself. I'm not going down. Let me tell you though, I had a pastor, he was Assemblies of God. And he was talking about how he knows that the power of God is real, but he's never fallen out and he didn't want to unless it was God. And so he goes down to, I think it was Argentina, on a missions trip. And he said there was a crowd of like, I don't know, 100,000 people. And he was towards the front and he was leaning up against like this metal barrier or whatever they had set up by the stage. And all of a sudden these pastors start walking out from the back. And he said, I have never been terrified of people before, but they were just so full of the power of God. Like when they walked, it was like almost terrifying. And he said, as they started walking through, people were just falling on either side. And he was still judging in his head. And he was like, this can't be real. I'm not going down. There's no way. And as they get closer, he said he felt like just more of the power of God coming every time they would walk. And so he grabbed a hold of the metal bar and he said, God, I'm not going down at this unless this is you. And he said this pastor walked up to him and he just pushed his hand out towards him, didn't even touch him. And he said, fuego. And he said he woke up, I knew it was he said he woke up 20 feet away.
I knew it was
through some chairs.
Wow. He's super saiyan.
Oh, I love stories from people that are so anti being demonstrative, anti, like, you know, they'll just do anything. Like, he was so against it and he was the one that went flying. And I think that's so funny when that happens, because it's like God picks the least likely person. Mm-hmm. But then he believed. So
hit him with that Holy Ghost Kamehameha.
Holy Ghost Fuego.
Yeah, that's where I came from. I came from the fuego. Yo, there was our head deacon, whenever we had like altar calls, he had a literal bottle of water that he took around and he would like, you know, hold it above people's heads and like, wow, like try and pretend like to pour it out on them. And then they'd start shaking and jumping and spinning around. Oh, man. So there's a word called the moño. It's like a little it's like a little bun that all Pentecostal moms have. That moño would go flying every time. They go, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! And that moño would go flying all over the place. That bun, it would stay in place, but like the rest of the hair would come out and it'd start swinging around in circles.
I see some videos of this. I mean, I'm intrigued.
Spanish, you think like American Pentecostals are crazy? Yo, Spanish Pentecostals, I've seen some crazy stuff. Let me tell you.
Oh, it's Pentecostal Espanol Normal.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yes. Oh, man. But anyway, so yeah, he would go around with the bottle. And then one day he took the cap off the bottle and just started dumping water on people. And they were like, you know, and they were pretending like it was the Holy Spirit, I guess. They were just getting drenched with literal water. And I was like, wow, they really are just getting drenched. And so he came over to me with a bottle and I just looked at him like, bro, if you pour that water on me, I'm going to kung fu the mess out of you. I'm going to.
Well, that's what's so cool about it when people don't even touch people. Like, there's a lot of people, I think, that they so badly want God to move in their services that they will go kind of over and above. Like, that person maybe was trying to get things to happen or whatever. But when, like, some of the greatest Pentecostal preachers, speakers, they would sit on their podium and they would just be like, Holy Spirit. And they have like the weakest voice and they didn't touch anyone and people would just be out and people would be instantly healed and like stuff like that. The power of God, you got to know, is real when you got some little weak person standing up at the podium, you know,
like the Yoda of the spiritual realm.
Fall down, you will.
I mean, I was thinking, I think it's Catherine Kuhlman that talks like that. She's like, Holy Spirit. Yeah. Like, and that's what her voice sounds like. But people were just miraculously everything around her. And she just seemed kind of, I don't know. It's just funny to me when it's a person that seems so weak. But, you know, Paul says that it's not by power or might, but by the Spirit. And that when you see people that don't have any power, don't have any might, you know that it's got to be the Spirit. So,
yeah, I actually heard somebody saying that Samson, because he was, it was the Holy Spirit that gave him his supernatural strength. He was probably a scrawny dude. Like all these pictures show Samson like super jacked and ripped and shredded, you know, but it's like, if it was the Holy Spirit that was giving him the power, he might've been like a string bean.
Little scrawny boy.
Yeah.
No Fabio.
No Fabio.
No Fabio.
I love your accents. Listen. Okay. We ask every single guest to do an impression when they come on and you have to give me your best impression right now, April. I need it.
I don't have an impression.
No. Yes, you do. Don't you do that because you've been doing it.
I don't know.
You've been doing it this whole time. You've been doing these really funny Spanish accents. You've been doing it. I promise.
Well, that's because I took Spanish class, but like,
I promise.
I don't know.
Any, like, even if it's just an accent or like a character,
I'm the worst at accents. I'm like, here's my British accent. I'm British. Like, that's as bad. Like, I'm horrible at accents. Like, I really am.
Oh, man. Your Spanish, I love your Spanish impression.
Hola, though. ¿Cómo estás?
Yes. That's so funny. That's perfect.
Well, there you go. That's my accent. You can be whoever you want it that to be.
Say say like a whole sentence in Spanish, because you said you took Spanish.
¿Cómo se dice? Oh, I can do what's her name from what's that show when she's like como te llamas?
Oh, you know,
from King of the Hill.
Yeah. Oh wow.
Necesita una margarita.
Yes, that's perfect.
Oh,
wow, thank you. See, I knew you had it in you, April. I knew it.
Oh, I don't. Man. I really don't. Tremendous. I'll leave him to Mike. He's so good with the intro with his accent there.
Oh my gosh, Michael.
Podcast.
All right, so last question here. Uh-oh. What are your thoughts on guys like Todd White and Benny Hinn and all these like...
Oh gosh, here we go.
Break out the white jacket. Here we go.
Yep. I'm just curious because like they, you know, you guys are kind of in the same vein, you know, so to speak.
Yeah.
So like, what are your thoughts?
Team Todd White. I think that there are a lot of people who have a lot of thoughts about ministers they don't know and have heard other people's opinions about and have taken those opinions. I get people sending me like, I can't believe you would post that Bethel song. Have you seen this movie about Bethel and how dangerous they are? Or I get a lot of those kinds of DMs. And there's a lot of people I say, well, why do you believe that they're dangerous? Well, this video says, okay, but why do you believe they're dangerous? Well, someone told me, well, that's, yeah. So why do you believe they're dangerous? Like, and people can't seem to answer those kinds of questions. A lot of it, I think, is people that have just heard other people's opinions about stuff and have decided to take those opinions. When I'm looking at somebody, I'm looking at their statement of faith, what they claim to believe about certain things. A lot of times I will see somebody in person and just kind of get a vibe from watching them or hearing them talk and that kind of thing. Or I'll listen to a sermon, but I'll also, you know, listen to more than 10 seconds of something that's cut out of a sermon that people have decided to, you know, whatever. So I have a lot of personal thoughts about a lot of ministers that are out there that I think that every single person in this world has things they understand that's really great about God. God has given them special revelation in one area or two areas or a lot of areas. And then everybody has areas where they don't understand things about God. And I don't think any one person has cornered the market on theological truth. But there's a lot of good in everybody of things, encounters they've had with God, revelation they've had from God, revelation they've had of the scriptures. And so I've heard the phrase before that you eat the meat and throw away the bones. And that's kind of how I consume the things that I read and I see as I take what I know to be true about the Lord and I filter it through the scripture and keep the stuff that's good and the stuff that I disagree with, I just throw that out.
I agree. That's a really great take, honestly. Because I know there's a lot of people in my camp that would say these guys are demons, like literal evil people. I mean, I don't want to judge. I don't want to speak on their salvation. But I have learned from them, like in my own life. Like I learned from Todd White, who is the biggest people person in the world. Like he really convicted me once in one of his sermons where he said, he's like, the reason people don't get saved and the reason your churches aren't growing is because you hate people. He's like, you don't want to talk with them. They're a burden to talk to. They're a burden to be around and you don't want to deal with their crap. And you have to deal with their crap. You have to love their crap and you have to love them. Yeah. And when he said that, it convicted me. I think about that like every week because that is so Christ-like. That is so like, it seems like it's untenable for me. Like, I do hate people. I really do. Really, really do. And that's something I just need more sanctification on, really. But that really convicts me. And, you know, that's Todd White. I disagree with him probably 90% of what he believes. I mean, actually, lately, he kind of showed glimmerings of coming.
I've heard he's made a turn of a different direction. I don't know about it fully, but
it's kind of weird because he kind of like shifted a bit, and he was like preaching Spurgeon, and he was preaching like these really great reformers. And then the next sermon, he's like, you know what? You know, those people are crazy. Like, he kind of like went right back to where he was before. I'm like, what? But anyways, yeah, no, I pray for the guy. He's a very intelligent guy. Very lovable.
The thing is too, like he came out of drug addiction and all this craziness. So it's not like he was like this theologian that went to Bible college for 7 years and like, you know what I mean? He came out and he was radically transformed by the Holy Spirit instantly. And now all he wants to do is do that. So like, I think that I can tell that he's been studying a ton and he's been learning a lot more, but of course he's going to sound different than John Piper. Like John, like, you know what I mean? They're completely different backgrounds, but people are so quick to write off a person because they disagree with their stance on something. And you're right. Like, I've seen Todd White in person. I saw him pray for a man, just one man, for an hour, for healing. This guy is like, I came here because I wanted prayer for this. And Todd spent an hour with one person. Like, there's not a lot of pastors that would do that, you know? So I think you're right that he has an understanding of how to love people well. He was trained by a guy, Dan Moeller, who I've seen speak. And he is probably, of any minister I've ever met, knows how to love people the best. And so it makes sense to me that Todd would know how to do that, being trained by a man who's so good at that. So,
yeah, that's really powerful. You know what's crazy? I've heard people, like reformed dudes, that are like, I won't listen to Stephen Furtick because would you eat a brownie if I had a little piece of poop in it? And I'm like, all brownies have a little piece of poop in it.
Let's just be real. The rats in those places, the little Debbies. Yeah.
You probably have poop in your teeth right now. Like,
but honestly, if you turn that around, there's some poop in John Piper stuff.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there is nobody that's perfectly aligned to the truth. We're all going to get to heaven and we're all going to realize we were all off. Like, and you're 100%. I mean, I've listened to some Furtick stuff and it's been amazing. I used to make jokes about Joel Osteen. And then one time I was working with the youth at my church and this girl was completely suicidal. Somebody gave her a Joel Osteen book, Your Best Life Now, the one that everybody always makes fun of. And I thought, oh no, this poor girl's suicidal. And now she's got that book. That's going to be worse, you know? And she read it and she came back and she was crying. And she said, I really believe that there's hope in my life now. This book changed my life. And I was like, why am I judging Joel Osteen when he just saved somebody from committing suicide? You know, like, God can use anybody. He can use a donkey. He can use any human being for sure. And I think we need to be careful when we're judging people and saying they're of the devil just because we disagree with their stance theologically on something.
Yeah, 100%.
Otherwise, I'd call you the devil, Matt.
Yeah. The doctrine of demons. That's what people love to say.
Demons.
Oh, man. But like, I was going to say, oh, yeah. No, Joel Osteen has a gift to uplift people. And I would be 100% remiss if I didn't thank the ministry of Joyce Meyer and Rick Warren for...
But wait, Joyce is a woman. How did that work?
Like,
I mean, you got encouraged by a woman. Is that allowed?
Oh, shoot, man. But like those people, when I first really committed my life to the Lord, their ministries really helped me just get my mind right. Like, I had a lot of weird things in my mind, and they have a big ministry that's focused on getting your mind right with God and with yourself. And I needed that.
Yeah.
So I would be a dummy to say
there's gold in everybody. Mm-hmm. We just got to find the parts that are relevant and take the good. I agree.
Thank you. Well, hey, April, this was awesome. There's a lot of gold in you. Let me just tell you right now.
Ah, yay.
And so, yeah, let's promote what you got going on here. You got at The Normal Pentecostal on Instagram, right?
Yep.
Are you on Facebook as well?
And Facebook.
Okay, Facebook.
Need some help with my Facebook.
Let's get that Facebook bumping. We got to share her stuff, dude. We got to share her stuff on Facebook.
Yeah. So share it with all your aunts so my Facebook grows.
Yes. And the More of God, is it The More of God podcast?
The More of God.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And anything else you got going on we can promote? Writing a book?
Not right now. I actually am going to have a book one day. I'll tell you when we can interview on that.
Yes. Fuego.
Fuego. It's going to be called Fuego.
Yeah.
Nothing but pictures of people flying across the room. Power guy.
It's like anime.
Picture book.
Dragon Ball Z. Oh, man, that's hysterical. But, all right, anyways, thanks so much for joining us, April. It really was a great time. All right. Thank you so much for joining us. And thanks for listening, guys. Peace. Bye. All right. That was awesome. Right, Mike?
Yeah, that was awesome.
We were talking with April and she opened my eyes. And now I'm a Pentecostal.
Yes. Finally.
That's a big JK ghostwriter. Big JK.
How could you do this to me?
I can't believe you've done this. Shoot. All right. Well, hey, y'all. Thanks so much for listening. Really appreciate y'all. Make sure to follow the @MemesForJesus podcast Instagram.
That's us.
Then please leave a review. Give us 5 stars.
Ooh, yes.
Give us 5 stars, please.
5 stars.
5 stars. And then review if you like it. If you hate it, still give us 5 stars. But, you know, you can say some bad stuff, but give us the 5 stars.
5 stars.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
But yeah, do that and help us get big. We're trying to be the next Christian Joe Rogan. But
isn't a Christian Joe Rogan, so we would be the Christian Joe Rogan.
That thing. But also, guys, don't forget to visit memesforjesus.com. What's gonna happen if they go there, Mike?
Y'all gonna find some awesome t-shirts and sweatshirts because it's going to be a little bit chilly outside soon. So we got a lot of sweatshirts. I love our sweatshirts. They're very nice and warm. I wear them often during the winter season to keep warm. So check those out. My favorite is the one that says, is it hot in here or is it just the Holy Spirit burning inside of you?
So yeah, please do that. And also,
I'm single. I'm just trying everything I can at this point.
Yes. And we also have masks. So get yourself a mask and it'll be great. So do that. Are we still doing the two or no?
I have no idea.
But just get a mask. Get a mask.
I'll have to ask the guy about that.
Yeah, we'll do that.
We got a guy. I'll ask the guy.
Got a guy. I'm going to ask that guy.
I'm going to ask my guy.
Awesome. All right, we got to go. Thanks for listening, guys.
Peace. Bye.